What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, hour number two, and we're actually falling way behind at the talking points. I'm going to try and get caught up on a lot of this stuff here. There is a new proposal going into the Congress. It's from the GOP, where they're basically going to make it legal for states to reallocate money for jobless benefits to basically avert tax increases on businesses. I am not kidding. We heard about this in Florida. We mentioned it yesterday, where Florida is cutting unemployment benefits to workers in order to fund tax cuts for businesses. Under this new proposal in Washington, D.C., they want to make it legal for all states to do that. Now, remember, that money that is in the unemployment fund comes from taxes your employer pays for the privilege of hiring you. And that is supposed to basically fund unemployment so that when you are let go from your job, you have something to basically carry you through into the next job. What the GOP is trying to say is that even though your employer is paying taxes to hire you, to pay for your unemployment, that it will now be legal for the states to take that money paid into the fund by your employer on your behalf and instead use it to fund tax cuts for businesses. This is outright looting. And if nothing else, it makes the premises under which the taxation put on employers for the right to hire, for the privilege to hire you, is money collected under fraudulent circumstances if it's not going to be used the way the government says we're going to use it. It's like the government saying, we need to collect taxes for roads, and then they turn around and they build a golf course with it. That's fraud. That's outright fraud. And the fact that it's a government should not deter people from saying, yeah, it's fraudulent. And, you know, we need to throw the fraudsters in prison. So basically, the GOP's attitude going into the 2012 election is, you know, to heck with workers. Let them starve to death. And, you know, we're going to take the money and we're going to give more tax cuts to businesses, because that will stimulate the businesses and they'll be able to go out there. There are no customers. You're not going to turn the economy around by looting the people to prop up businesses and banks, because without customers, none of these things are going to work. There is one and only one way to bring this economy back from the brink of death, and that is to bring back the high-paying jobs. And our government will not do that, because if Americans had high-paying jobs and could start paying their mortgages, then the banks will collapse from all this having to buy back the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. The United States federal government economic policy has painted itself into an impossible corner, because it was only thinking short-term, next election, fix the problem now, don't worry how it affects people, and don't worry about what's going to happen 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Well, here we are down the road and up the creek without a paddle. And that is why we are heading for a crash and a collapse. There is nothing this government can do to change the circumstance that doesn't either crash the economy outright or crash the banking system. It's all cosmetic in an election year here. But if you don't bring back manufacturing and you don't bring back those manufacturing jobs for the American people, there's nothing that they can do. They can't fix it. They can't fix it. They don't know how. So they're going to try and start a war to sort of get out of the mess they've created. And again, this is history repeating itself. The U.S. government got out of the financial crash of 1907 by getting into World War I. They got out of the crash of 1929 by getting into World War II. Here we are in the throes of the crash of 2007. And look how hard the government continues to this very day to try and start a war with anybody. Pakistan appears to be in the crosshairs next. Used to be our friend, now our enemy. We've always been at war with East Asia. Europe is still trying to cook the books to hide the bankruptcy, but again, you know, they're looking at the same situation. The European Union, the Central European Bank is saying, you got to give us that compound interest. You've got to give us that. And the people are saying, we're not going to pay for the bankers' mistakes. We'll be right back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Manny's in the control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and answering your phone calls. All right, we've talked enough about the economy. We know it's a mess, and we know that the U.S. government and Wall Street have painted themselves into an absolute corner, and their only instinct is to go out and find more ways to take money from you, because after all, that's the only reason you're even in their universe, is to provide endless wealth for them. I want to get back here to Nosama Gate. This story continues to crater all over the world, and yet it's amazing how hard the U.S. government and the corporate media are still trying to get out there and raise on this busted flush. To, just as an illustration of just how scared the White House is from websites like mine, putting out the signs of all these faked photos of the guy they're trying to prove that they got bin Laden, and we've exposed fake after fake after fake after fake. Yesterday, through the various security computer mailing lists, there was this email spammed out to everybody saying, don't you dare look at photos of dead Osama on any websites because they're loaded with viruses and they'll destroy your hard drive and you shouldn't look. And you know, I know there are no viruses lurking on whatreallyhappened.com. This is another pathetic and desperate attempt to scare people away from looking at the evidence with their own eyes of the fraud, especially that passport photo which, you know, even for student work is D-level work. And the White House doesn't want you to look at that. They just want you to just listen and accept and believe what you're getting from the TV networks and the White House press statements. And, you know, just days after members of Congress admitted that the photo they were being shown in briefing was one of the exposed frauds, now the White House is saying, well, we're going to let some members of Congress see the real photos, but they have to go to CIA and look at it, not take notes, not take sketches, not make copies, and go. You know, it's the same thing all over again. Just trust us, believe us, we know it's him, accept our word. Okay, maybe that would have worked in 1950 and 1960. This is 2011. We are on the far side of Saddam's nuclear bombs. We're on the far side of Gulf of Tonkin. We're on the far side of all the lies about the economy. This government has lost the right to demand a presumption of honesty and truthfulness. The burden of proof is on them to prove to the American people and to the world that what they say is the truth, and not to waffle, fiddle-faddle, change the story until they got something that nobody can challenge, and then say, okay, this is now the official story, and you must accept and believe it, or the terrorists will win. And they're still trying to get out there and push this thing. Now, interestingly enough, retired DNA expert, 26-year veteran with the FBI itself, has gone public saying that this claim that they have a DNA result proving that that was Osama bin Laden is nonsense. And he's basically confirming you cannot do a DNA test for identity in only 5 hours. But there are other problems. The official story is, you know, because the United States doesn't want to admit that bin Laden was actually working for CIA in Afghanistan. So they're not admitting they've got DNA of Osama bin Laden himself. The official story is they got DNA from bin Laden's sister, who's living up in Boston. Nice place to live. And so they're saying they matched it to him. Now, even the best DNA test in the world is only going to show a familial relationship if they're using the regular cellular DNA. Okay? Now, if they're using the mitochondrial DNA, they can get an exact match, but all that does say is that this woman in Boston and the dead body had the same mother. And Osama bin Laden had a lot of brothers and sisters. He came from a big family. His older brother, Salim bin Laden, was business partners with George W. Bush in a company called Arbusto Energy. So maybe the dead body was Salim bin Laden. Actually, no, he died in a small plane crash. Happens a lot around the Bushes. So there's no foundation for saying they proved it was Osama bin Laden. They'd have to have DNA from bin Laden himself, non-mitochondrial DNA, and they would have to do an absolute complete match. They can't say it's Osama bin Laden using DNA from his sister. All they can say is they're related. And they're out there saying, well, it's a 99% match. That's a meaningless number in genetics. Your DNA will match 99% with DNA taken from a chimpanzee. Doesn't mean you're a chimpanzee. So it's, again, and now we have this 26-year veteran of the FBI's DNA lab saying that the DNA story doesn't work. And yet, President Barack Obama is already waving bin Laden as his campaign flag in his fundraising events. So I view that as President Obama has just boarded Petard 1. And if you don't know what I mean by that, go out to Wikipedia or your search engine and look up the word petard, as in hoisting with. So we now have, you know, Obama aboard Petard 1. He's not going to be able to keep this story intact into the 2012 election season. It's already coming apart. The wheels are coming off. It is an act of desperation and madness that he is persisting in trying to use this as a campaign issue. Now, inevitably, we are getting all of these stories about how Al-Qaeda is warning of a new jihad after bin Laden's death, and all of these stories are tracking back to the same organization, SITE. Okay? Now, SITE is an Israeli propaganda operation. It's run by Rita Katz, whose father was executed for being an Israeli spy. SITE is linked to PNAC through another group called SAIS. And like Julian Assange's WikiLeaks, SITE was accorded media stardom by pro-Israel news organizations like National Review and Fox News and Newsmax before they'd even actually done anything. And as one of the readers into my show was pointing out in an email, site is the only source for these claims about Al-Qaeda website this and jihad that. And there's never any confirmation. It comes from site. They say, we found it. Here it is. And the American media just says, oh, yes, if it's coming from site, it must be true. And there's no proof, no URL links, no independent verification. It is simply a pronouncement. And now we have another one of these manufactured Muslim jihadis screaming that there's going to be revenge on the United States. How many of these fakes do we have to expose before you understand it's a hoax? First, we had Adam Gadon, the American Al-Qaeda, the media maven of Al-Qaeda. And his real name is Adam Perlman. He's a grandson of a member of the board of directors of the ADL. Then we had Yusuf al-Khattab, who used to dress up in, you know, with his beard and his Rambo knife, and he ran the Revolution Muslim website out of Brooklyn. And his name was Joseph Cohen. His real name is Joseph Cohen. Even the American corporate media had to cop to that one. Then we had Amzi al-Amrika, the guy, the Muslim who threatened South Park, and his real name is Zachary Chesser. It's all a fraud to get you to go kill the people you're supposed to kill. And again, all I can say is, as you hear all of this nonsense about, you know, trying to run up for war and how bad the Muslims are, let history be your guide. Iran became an Islamic state in 1979. And from 1979 to today, Iran has not invaded anybody. And neither Israel or the United States can make the same claim. Of the three countries, United States, Israel, and Iran, the one that is not a threat to peace continues to be Iran. All war is based in deception. All wars are started with lies. That's what's going on right now. Another one you want to look at is called the Middle East Media Research Institute, MEMRI, free organization providing translations of Arab articles to the Western media, except that MEMRI is also an Israeli operation, and their translations inevitably biased in favor of Israel's point of view. MEMRI is the organization that claimed that Ahmadinejad said he was going to wipe Israel off the map, and scholars have gone back to the original speech and said that's not what he said. You're being lied into wars of conquest. All righty. We got a bunch of callers waiting on the line here. Let's go with the first one. Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, just calling in to let you know what happened when I called that number for Aaron's yesterday.
For Aaron's, yeah. What happened? What did they say?
Well, a nice lady called, answered the phone and told her I wanted to speak to someone with authority. And so once I got fed up, I explained to him what was going on. Well,
I've got to make it fast. We're almost at the break.
Apparently, the store here where I live at is a corporate store, and what they're telling me is the only stores that are having this issue are the franchises. So what they've done is they're sending me a document which guarantees my computer is not infected with this software. Yeah, good thing, right?
I would still have it looked at by an expert, absolutely.
I am.
Okay.
The number's good, and you got it. Anyone...
Can this number real quick before the break.
Call Aaron if you have an account and you got a computer from them. Give them a call. Let them know you're upset. And,
give me the number one more time.
All right. Let me pull it out here again. It is 888-333-3785. If you're running a computer from Aaron's, and you're concerned about this software that lets them turn your computer webcam on, again, the number is 888-333-3785. That's for
Aaron's. I want to tell you, between Aaron's, thank you for the call, got to let you go, between Aaron's watching you through the webcam, the school administration watching kids through the webcam, it's only happening because the government is allowing it and allowing it to take place, which tells you a lot about life in the United States right now. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more calls after these words from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go to Marcel in Arizona. Aloha, Marcel. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hello, are you there? Okay, if Marcel is not there, can we switch over to Frank?
No! No!
Hello?
Yes, it's
hello,
Marcel.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Oh,
okay. All right.
Hello?
Little technical glitch there.
Sorry about that.
The hamster fell out of his wire wheel. What's on your mind?
I was about to lose it. I thought I wasn't going to be on. Hey, listen, first, let me say to you, man, what a great job you're doing. I got to get that out of the way first, okay? And I just wanted to say to you, I just tuned into you, just started listening. I think this is my new favorite radio show. And I love what you're doing already. Okay, I know you don't want to hear all that, but I had to put that out
there. That's right.
It's the truth. Okay. Now, I've got a little bit of an idea for you to fix the economy. I heard you talking about it earlier, and you're almost there. Here's what we need to do. The taxpayers of the United States of America should be given $100,000. Each and every taxpayer should be given $100,000 to go out and purchase goods from Best Buy, Aaron's, wherever they go. Buy TVs, buy cars, buy homes. That's what's going to stimulate the economy, and that's what's going to bring everything back. And at the same time, since we're the taxpayers and we have to pay the money back anyway, may as well bail us out or give us the money. How does that sound to you, Mike?
Well, it's a drastic oversimplification, and by the way, to really offset the damage that has been caused the average American by all of this bailout of Wall Street, it would really be more appropriate to talk about maybe half to three-quarters of $1 million per taxpayer rebate. But just taking the money and going on down to Best Buy and Aaron's is not a solution because most of the products in there are foreign imports anyway. What I would suggest as an alternative is if that money had been moved into the American pockets instead of taken from the Americans and given to the banks, that Americans would pay down their credit cards with that money, they'd pay their mortgages, there'd be no housing crisis, there'd be no credit crisis, we'd be buying American cars, would have been no need for a bailout of General Motors and these other companies, and yeah, we would have gone on down to the shopping mall and bought a bunch of stuff and possibly stimulated our local manufacturing when all of a sudden they say, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on out here. And if we can keep Americans having this kind of money, then they'll go on buying products and everything will be really fine. But the only way we can't just keep on giving the American people this kind of money. We have to come up with jobs where they can go on earning this kind of money to sustain what's going on. I mean, prior to this huge crash, 60% of the economy was consumer spending. And that's the sector that has really collapsed. And you cannot run the country on solely on governmental spending and military spending. Those are very, very narrow sectors of the economy.
So my idea isn't a good idea because it doesn't address the root of the problem. It just puts a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we ultimately, you know, we've got to start thinking long-term here. And it took 30 years for our manufacturing to be crippled and mostly sent to other countries. It's going to take 30 years to bring it back. And this is probably the top reason why we should work to avoid a new global war, because we don't have the manufacturing to sustain the kind of material production it's going to take to fight and win a new world war. Now, again, the danger here is the bankers don't care which side wins and loses. They just care that both sides in a global war go into debt to the banks for the next 50 to 100 years. Germany just paid off their World War I debt just last year. That's probably one of the reasons for a real push for a new world war. Everybody's paying off all the bills from, you know, big mistake number one, and a lot of people are starting to pay off the remains of their debts from big mistake number two, and the bankers are saying, boy, we need a new world war. Get everybody shoved back down onto that debt hook just really hard, and let's put a couple of extra barbs in it this time so they can't wiggle off quite so fast.
Okay. Well, look, I thought I was on to something, but you explained it well, so... Again, congratulations. I'm an old radio person, too. I do radio. I have a radio show that's different from yours. But
I can actually tell from your voice.
Yeah, well, I play music, and it's crazy. It's nothing serious like yours. Hey, really, great job. Again, I know I got to go, but I just wanted to say that, man, because it's important to, for me, I'm encouraged by what you're doing. I saw you on Justin TV. I would have never heard of you before. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm
one of those
anonymous
type people, you know. Unless you go in the post office and see my posters on the wall, you'd never hear of me. Marcel, got to let you go. We're going to switch over to Frank. Frank, are you there? Sorry for the prior interruptions. What's on your
still
mind?
Here, bud. I'm still here, bud.
Yeah.
If Germany finally paid off their war debt, does that mean that the 10% tax that you've been paying, that every business and person in the United States has been paying on their telephone bill since World War One, when the 10% tax was enacted to pay for it, can now go away?
In theory, yes. In practicality, no. I mean, every time the U.S. government adds a tax for an emergency, when the emergency is over, there's always something they say, oh, we can use the money for this and that. And that's why we have this incredible excess taxation while our country is rotting around us, you know, as we speak. So nice if the government would follow its own rules and laws, but it generally doesn't. And so, no, the tax is not going to go away.
Okay,
you know,
Pakistan.
Absent this side of a revolution or a reformation. You know, a lot of people are starting to say, this isn't really a revolution we're trying to start. It's a reformation. It's a reformation of the United States and its government and banking system. And I like that word a lot better because it sort of suggests we can do this without a lot of blood in the streets, which is definitely a consummation devoutly to be wished here. Daniel in Canada. Aloha, Daniel. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Oh, we got to take a break. Daniel, I'm sorry. Hang on. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
help. I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method, which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Hi, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to clarify something because I got a very irate email over the break here when I talk about, you know, Saddam's nuclear bombs and everything. I know the word is nuclear. I use nuclear because that's what George Bush used to use. It's sort of a curse on our culture going all the way back to Eisenhower, who called it nuclear bomb this and nuclear bomb that. And I always used to make an issue of it when George Bush was talking about Saddam's nuclear bombs. And he's got germs, and he's going to – it's bad. And, you know, it's hard to take President Bush seriously about the threat of Iraqi nuclear weapons when he can't even pronounce the word correctly. And so I sort of got into the habit, every time I'm talking about Saddam's weapons, of calling them nuclear, because that's what George Bush would do. And I wanted to clarify that for the benefit of people who have joined the show since those days. I know it's pronounced nuclear, but the president did not. All right, getting back here to Daniel in Canada, what is on your mind?
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
I'm quite well.
First, I just want to say that we really appreciate your site up here in Canada, and I've been telling all my friends, basically anytime something happens in the news, a lot of us, the first thing we do is come to your site, so it's greatly appreciated. What I was thinking was about the Osama bin Laden story and the pictures. I have two questions or comments. First, are any of these pictures coming from reputable sources, or are they just pictures that are floating around the Internet that you've come across?
Yeah, the first picture actually came out of Reuters. And we now know from Senator Brown that it is, in fact, the same picture that was being shown in the official briefing to the Senate Armed Services Committee. So that first fake was definitely from an original source. The others appear to have been trial balloons, if you will. They were leaked onto the Internet, and I guess people were saying, let's see if they fall for this one. If they believe this one, we'll go with this one. And, of course, nobody believed any of them because all of them were actually pretty shabbily done. But that first one definitely came out of Reuters, and it definitely was the same picture being shown to the Senate Armed Services Committee. So that's the provenance on those images.
And my second comment was basically what you just said about the shoddy work on the pictures. Why do you think that such shoddy work is being put into something that would be very important to the cause of what they're trying to accomplish?
Because 17 years ago, the U.S. government drove one of the best visual effects people out of Hollywood and over to Hawaii. That's why. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I think it's because of two things. One, it's an institutional arrogance, because this kind of stuff, I mean, I've got a book that studies the history of fake propaganda photos, and they go way, 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 way back. And you'd be amazed looking back, you know, with today's eyes at these images and just how obviously fraudulent they are. In the case of the one with the passport, I think it was just a rush job. They were rushing. They were desperate to get something out there to just prop up the story. And whoever was doing the work didn't know Photoshop, didn't know what they were doing. And they went with it anyway, again, just out of institutional arrogance. They still are living in the 1950s and 1960s, height of the Cold War, where they think they can get away with this stuff. And maybe, one of these days, they're going to wake up and say, those days of fraud against the people of the world are gone forever, just like back at the time of Gutenberg, and the civil government and the churches finally had to wake up and say, the days when we could tell people what to think about the Bible are gone because they've got their own Bibles now. And that's exactly the kind of social revolution that we're seeing right here and right now in the age of the Internet. And again, it comes down to evolution. The environment is changing. The environment of information flow has fundamentally changed. And those entities that can evolve to adapt to the new environment will survive. And those that cannot are going to go extinct. And we have a lot of institutions. The U.S. government is one of them. They're carrying this huge burden of accumulated lies and propaganda from the last century. And they can't start telling the truth now, because then all of a sudden all that accumulated mendacity comes down on their head anyway. And so that's why I think the U.S. government is definitely seeing its final days here. It's going to go the way of the USSR. So, yeah, a lot of recklessness. You know, that first photo that came out was actually a pretty decent job. But again, when you've got all the world suspicious and looking for signs of fraud, they're going to find it. You know, these pictures would have worked in an era where everybody assumed the government was telling you the truth and assumed the media was telling you the truth. You go back and you look at some of the stuff that's in the media surrounding the John F. Kennedy assassination. And in an era where we believed the United States government and the TV networks and the magazines, it worked. We weren't looking to see the signs of fraud. But when you go back with the eyes born of the age of wisdom of knowing that our government lies to us about everything, and you go back and you look at that propaganda, the obvious signs of fakery and fraud just leap right out at you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Cheers.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And we've got one more caller, Brad in Kentucky. Aloha, Brad. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, aloha, Mike. Yeah, I just wanted to know if you'd seen the story about where the BBC interviewed a Pakistani man named Shabir that was a neighbor at this house that Osama was supposedly living in. And he's seen the videos and says that the man in the video, it was his neighbor named Akbar Khan.
Yeah.
And that it was not Osama, that this he's lived in this town for like the last 50 years, and they've interviewed
and everybody
residents
knows him, yeah.
There, and only one person that's been out of the 50 that the BBC has interviewed had believed that Osama bin Laden was there.
Well, you know, the preponderance of evidence available on the internet is that the real Osama bin Laden, younger brother to George W. Bush's business partner, Salem bin Laden in Arbusto Energy, a.k.a. Tim Osman, when he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, the real Osama bin Laden died of natural causes in December of 2001. It was reported in all the foreign media. Even Fox News reported it. Shortly before her assassination, Benazir Bhutto also confirmed that bin Laden was dead. And all of the audio and video tapes released since then have been exposed as frauds. And even that guy in the yellow robe that they're trying to decorate all the current propaganda with is not the real Osama bin Laden. And if you go back and look at the last known photos of the real bin Laden, you can see it's not him. You know, and so that's the situation. We start out knowing that any claims that bin Laden is alive today by the U.S. government and the media have to be a lie, and we start out looking for signs of fraud. This is where all the decades of lying to the American people come back to haunt the United States government, because nobody's going to take their word about anything. We start out skeptical. We start out looking for indications of falsehood and fraud. And remember, propaganda is not designed to fool critical analysis. It's just there to give people who don't want to think about it a reason not to think about it. And yes. So that's why the fakery on that passport picture is so rough and tumble and reckless. It's not aimed to actually fool anybody who's going to look at it closely. It's out there to try and convince people who lack the courage to stand up and confront the reality of what the government of the United States has truly become. It's there to reassure them, you don't need to worry about this anymore, these aren't the droids you're looking at, blah, 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 and to try and say, go back to breeding us soldiers and paying us taxes.
Now, I wanted to ask you if you were familiar with the documentary that was made a few years back by Morgan Spurlock. It was called Where in the World is Osama bin Laden? I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I've heard about it. I don't think I saw it, but I heard about it. And a lot of people were saying, you know, we were told that this, you know, was the arch villain and he was an egomaniac. And a lot of people, even in the American media, were saying it doesn't make sense if he was still alive that we would not be hearing from him.
He goes to the Middle East and he goes to several of the countries where bin Laden lived, and he interviews just the local people, and pretty much finds out that, you know, that they're not that different from us. You know, they pretty much want the same thing we do. They want to earn a decent living, and they want to provide for their family. They, you know, and they want to live in peace. You know.
You know, it's just like John Kennedy used to say when he was over there, you know, talking about normalizing relations with the Soviet Union. They want what we want. They want, you know, to be in that we cherish our children's future. And we all want to walk on the earth, not lie underneath it. And it's absolutely right. It's only the fanatics and the money junkies and the control freaks and these guys listening to the invisible man in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear that are out there screaming to kill the infidel, kill the heathen, kill the other people and give me their money. I mean,
I want to say that the only hostility that he encountered was when he went to a certain area of Jerusalem that was inhabited by mainly Orthodox Jews, and he almost got himself beat up.
They're a little uptight over there. What can I tell you? You know, personally, I'd love to visit Israel and see the ancient sites. I'd love to visit Egypt, but my good buddy Dr. Hawass is going to be a jailbird for a while. You know, but again, you know, if it weren't for all these religious fanatics in positions of political power, I mean, history has shown that Christians, Jews, and Muslims can live together in peace. They certainly do that in Iran today. And, you know, it's only the opportunists who say, oh, I can make a lot of money if I can convince this group to go kill that group and bring their money back, you know, to me and tell them it's all God's will. And that's really what it, you know, I think people can live in peace. It's just these hallucinated and fanatical money junkies playing on our prejudices and our fears to get us to go slaughter each other and loot the other guy's nation, and that's really the cause of all wars. Go out, kill them, take their wealth, and bring it back to me, and the gods will allow you into Valhalla, or whatever the promise is going to be.
And what a lot of people don't remember is that back during the Crusades, when Jerusalem was conquered during the first Crusades, the Christians slaughtered everyone.
Without regard to race, creed, color, religion, or sexual orientation. They kill them all, let God sort them out.
But then when Saladin came back years later and retook it, he let everyone live. I mean, he did not do the same. He let everyone live. So
he gave them all safe passage back to Christian lands. He sent an escort to make sure that nobody would bother them.
Right.
That's exactly right. Your history is exactly right.
So, how soon we forget?
Well, we forget only because our schools are designed to encourage us to forget and encourage us not to think about what history really is. And I remember during my brief career as a teacher and just seeing this and saying, they're cheating our children, because history was taught as just these isolated little moments, name, place, and date. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And we walked out of that classroom thinking that we understood history because we had a date, 1492, and Columbus, the name, and what he did. He sailed the ocean blue. And we thought that was what history, and history is not individual events. It is this constant dance of cause and effect, this intertwining of agendas and political machinations. But we're not taught history that way, because if we're not taught that history is these intertwinings of cause and effect in ancient times, then we grow up being unable to see the political intertwinings that are behind current events. And that is why history keeps repeating, because each tyrant blinds his population to history so they don't see it when he's playing the same tricks on them over and over and over and over again. And we really do cheat our own children. We literally blind them to what the nature of history is by convincing them that history is just nothing but a bunch of names and dates and places. And that's not really what history is at all. And one of the big lies of our society is public education, which convinces you that you're educated without really educating you at all. And it's just like corporate media tries to convince you that you're informed without informing you at all. And our tax system and government trying to convince you that you're free, and you're not free at all. And that is really the big lies at the heart of the American system right now. Thanks a lot for the call, Brad. We're going to let you go. We're coming to the end of the show, and I got a lot of stuff to cover. I had a huge list of talking points. We're obviously going to have to take a lot of this into the show tomorrow. A lot of flack, a lot of fallout, backlash, blowback, whatever you want to call it, from this latest abuse by the TSA, where this TSA worker felt obliged to inspect the diaper contents of a little baby. And somebody got a picture of it, and it went viral all over the net. And all I can say looking at that is I learned a new word today over at the TSA. The word is coprophilia. And if you don't know what I mean, go ahead and look it up in a search engine. But basically, these are some very, very, very sick people. And now, of course, they're talking about bringing TSA crotch grabbers to the trains and bus stations. And I want to remind everybody of something. In all of its years of operations, in all the years that it's been molesting our daughters and our wives and our children and dropping and wrecking our laptops and looting our luggage and taking things that don't belong to them, in all of that, the TSA has never, ever, ever, ever once actually caught a real terrorist, not one. So do you think it makes any sense to go on with that same pattern of failure on trains and buses? Is not the definition of insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over again and somehow expecting a different outcome? I mean, it's all the more absurd when you realize, you know, when you're talking about trains and buses inside the country, isn't everybody who's getting on that train and bus already been through a TSA groping at the airport coming into the country? You know, we're definitely going down that whole Nazi, your papers, please, and checkpoints, and you must have an internal passport to go from one place to the other, and they're going to GPS your car so that if you're on a watch list, you have no business driving over here next to this government building, so the car won't let you go there. That's really what is going on behind this whole GPS in the car thing. Call on the line, Chris in Nevada. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Well, I was going to let you know a little bit of observation I had about the dubious postulation about the Obama administration's pretense of the computer selecting the judges that are rehearing the health care debacle over in South Carolina
and they were trying to ascribe that it was a completely fair pick by a computer. Well, it's about as fair as the voting machine fixing that went on by the Acorn service representatives here in Nevada and other locations throughout the voting of the last cycle. And that any computer can have an encrypted program placed within that can be actuated at will and be contrived to bring out the desired result and make it appear normal at any other time, in spite of the fix that's actually encoded within on the Trojan horse type program.
Well, you know, you hit a very, very good point here, because the idea is that judges are supposed to be picked by random so that there's no political influencing over which judge gets which case. Well, you could do that with dice or a chuck-a-luck machine. And the idea that they're doing it inside the computer in an age where we know the government lies to us suggests that, yeah, it's just as fraudulent as everything else.
Well, that's Obama especially and his group there. They're all experts at cheating.
Well, it's hardly...
things.
We got to go. We got to go. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back. I'll answer afterwards.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Back to the show here, and responding to what Chris was saying, I just wanted to point out that vote fraud is hardly confined to any one candidate or any one party. Vote fraud is epidemic in this country and has been for a long time. Go look at blackboxvoting.org and Bev Harris. If you have not seen it, there's a documentary. It's been on HBO called Hacking Democracy. Very important that every American see this going into this next election. And we have come to understand the electronic voting system that is being forced on all of us is designed to be subject to rigging and fraud. Most people don't understand that the national elections are not counted and totaled by any governmental body or even a civilian oversight body. The elections are decided and announced by a privately owned company owned by the TV networks and a couple of major newspapers called Voters News Service. And they'll change the name every once in a while to obfuscate what's going on. But we have this private company, and they have been caught before rigging the results to favor certain candidates. The elections in the United States are completely fraudulent. And the implications of that are, we don't know that we have a legal government in this country. Certainly not one that we should follow off into bloody wars and into poverty. And if we have governments that are not lawful because they were not actually elected, then we're not on the hook to pay their bills and obey their orders. So, now, moving right along, we're getting word that Israeli forces and tanks have crossed into Gaza. Now, Israel is saying they're going in there searching for illegal tunnels, but analysts are pretty much saying that Israel is trying to provoke a response. Israel needs Gaza to be seen to do something really bad so Israel can go in there with Cas-Led 2, Cas-Led 3, Cas-Led 4. Because Israel is absolutely set that they are not going to allow Palestine to become a state. And again, this is the reason for all of this unhappiness for the last 60 years. Israel declares itself to be in existence and says, we have a right to exist, but you don't. And Israel goes around saying, you've got to recognize our right to exist, and you've got to recognize our right to exist. And I will tell you right now, all of the Arab nations in the Middle East and Africa will recognize Israel's right to exist exactly 1 second after Israel recognizes Palestine's right to exist. And as long as Israel continues to go along demanding for itself that which it will not grant to anybody else, there will never, ever be peace in the region. Because you cannot operate in the modern world of this attitude of, we're supposed to get it all and you're not going to get any, because the invisible man in the cloud says we're supposed to have it. Israel's entire cultural mentality is rooted in folk tales from 2,000 years ago. About the chosen people, and we're supposed to have all the land because this parchment says so. Well, I got a parchment right here. Found it buried in a mayonnaise jar out in the backyard. And it says, the invisible man in the cloud says that you all have to pay me five cents every time you have a hot date with your girlfriend or your wife. And you all owe me, ooh, that's a lot of money thinking about that. All righty, we're coming to the end of the show here. And it looks like Israel is getting ready to try and crank up more wars because they can't seem to think of anything else to do to get what they want out of the world. Attacks on Gaza, attack on Syria possibly. They're already drooling to go back into Lebanon for that Litani River, and certainly they're cheerleading all of these wars that are encircling Iran. So that's it for our show today. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until tomorrow, stay safe, stay well, stay angry, stay skeptical, and aloha, America.
Ever climbing.